Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way.
Oh, America, are you serious? It is showtime, baby. Here we go.
Live from Tallulah Midway in Corpus Christi, Texas, for the area, the bi-district championship game featuring the Ed Calchelsa Yellow Jackets versus the Tallulah Midway Warriors. The excitement, the drama, the whole story is about to unfold here live on Ed Calchelsa Sports Radio, and I'd like to welcome you guys. I, of course, am the host with the most, Perry Yellis, and I was in a mad rush to try to secure somebody to come out here, come up here in the booth and help me out, so hopefully that person will pan through and will be able to help us out. The crowd here has been electrified for the last few minutes as the Yellow Jackets have went ahead and went through the coin flip and went ahead and have, even though they lost the toss, they will be kicking the ball off to the Tallulah Midway Warriors. Kickoff is set to begin. Let me go ahead and take a quick break as I talk to the possible candidate to help me out here in the booth.
While you enjoy the game, JBR Digital Imaging is hard at work bringing you all the up-close and personal action shots of Ed Calchelsa football. Visit eejackets.com/JBR to access JBR Digital's .photo account, which ultimately will allow you to see action shots of tonight's game as well as others. Oh, there he goes again. JBR Digital Imaging, a proud sponsor of Ed Calchelsa Sports Radio.
I thought I was your yardage getter.
We are back live here once again. I, of course, am the host of the most, Perry Yellis, and I am joined by, finally,
Raul Guajardo.
You could have used an alias if you wanted
an
to.
Alias name, that's no problem.
Well, we are set to start this ball game, man. For the most part, I'm looking to both sides, and what do you think, man? It's pretty packed in here, huh?
It's full house right here. We got a full house tonight. TM's brought quite a bit of their fans out here, and of course, Ed Calchelsa, you know what they bring.
The ball was kicked off there, and immediately after the kickoff, the whistles were blown, and it appears that the Jackets may have probably been offsides and will have to kick the ball over. Or it may have been that they just didn't hear the whistle blow because of the fact that they kicked off early.
Loud.
Yeah, I mean, it was. We had to close the windows here in the booth just so we could, I could hear you.
It appears they're going to kick off again from the 40.
So, indeed, it was not a penalty. The Jackets will kick off. And, of course, kicking off for the Yellow Jackets, number 9, Miguel El Pie de Oro Garcia.
That kid feels like he got a good leg on him.
Ball is squibbed. Caught at about the 25. Past the 30. Tackled finally at the 35-yard line. So this bi-district playoff matchup set to begin as the Yellow Jackets take the field on defense first. Tallulah Midway. Interesting to see what offense they'll be running. You wanna do a play-by-play, or you wanna do color commentary?
I'll just follow you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. First and 10. Ball's marked at the 35-yard line. It's a handoff up the middle, and immediately met by number 53, Paul Gomez, and actually met by a series of Yellow Jackets there.
They lost a good three yards in that play. Should bring down a second and 13, second and 12, maybe.
Well, they do give them forward progress. So it'll actually be a second and 9 as the ball is spot at about the 37-yard line. Second down and 9. Motion. Handoff. It's a sweep to the left-hand side. Got the guards out there. Does have a little bit of room, but cannot pass the corner as number 50 comes and pushes them out of bounds, but does pick up a couple yards.
Brings up a third and five. And this is Toloso's first time in the playoffs since what year again? A good 40 years.
It's I heard that. It was about 40 years since the Warriors have been in the playoffs. So definitely a long playoff drought here. They're looking for a victory as on third and five, they hand it off to the right-hand side of the line. And big old number 14, Ari Tanguma, making the tackle.
That's a tackle for loss right there. Chalk that one up right there for the big tight end, Ari Tanguma.
And, of course, Ari Tanguma assuming the role of middle linebacker, a player that normally starts there. Tony Sanchez, having difficulties, will not be able to play. I'm not sure if it's an injury or what it is, but Ari Tanguma is starting in his place at the middle linebacker position.
Well, that's a good backup right there. That's a nice backup to
have. That's a senior backup right there. That's a guy that, you know, he wants to win, and he's going to do whatever it takes, play linebacker, tight end, play punter if he needs to. On fourth down, Toulouse Midway Warriors attempt a punt, and it is blocked.
I want to say that was blocked by number 10.
So the ball is now spot after the block. The guy that blocked it was actually a little entertaining, had a little difficulty finding where it was at. So he's kind of looping around trying to find the ball. Maybe didn't even realize it was right behind him. But nonetheless, he does pick it up. It doesn't matter anyways because it was fourth down. The Yellow Jackets take over at about the 27-yard line, first and 10. And you know what? You don't want to give the Jackets this kind of field position because they're going to hurt you.
No, especially not with an experienced team like this. They're going to take advantage of the errors.
Well, on first down, it appears to have been a sweep to the left for Roger Garcia. And he is immediately met. You got to give credit to the defense there of the Warriors. Good lateral pursuit, able to tackle him for a huge loss, officially about maybe 7 yards.
Yeah, Cut Johnson needs to come out. They tried to run a toss sweep to the left there, and TM met up the challenge right there. Looks like they're ready to play.
Do want to welcome Johnny Maldonado out there tuning into tonight's ball game at El Sereno Center. He's saying there's quite a crowd of people there. Sorry that we are unable to broadcast any video, but hopefully you'll enjoy the audio of tonight's ballgame. It's on second down and 17. Nino back to pass. Astanguma open. Oh, just a little too high.
Sounds like they might be the only people left in Elsa there.
They're out there holding up the fort for us.
It brings up a third and 16 for the Yellow Jackets.
So immediately blessed with excellent field position, now find themselves in a rut after the first down play and find themselves having to convert this long first down.
We can only assume here they're gonna have some type of pass pattern. They're going to come out with one wide receiver there.
Motion. It's a pitch, Roger, and it appears to be a halfback pass, and they have read that perfectly, the Toulouse defense, as they had it covered, double covered, actually.
Yeah, Roger Garcia made a good attempt there, but it was a little bit overthrown, and he did have double coverage up there on top.
Do want to welcome some special guests out there. Obviously, the Los Fresnos fans, the Westlaco fans, the Harlingen fans, the ones that are still in the playoffs but are playing tomorrow.
Oh, sorry about that.
We got a special guest here, our RGVF moderator, from RGBSN.com, the forums over there, joining us here at tuning in tonight's broadcast.
Head coach sets up a fourth down with the twins to the right, motion right.
Obviously a passing down here, fourth and 16. Nino releases the ball, has a wide open receiver. Tanguma working for that first down with one guy holding onto his leg, and he got it.
That's a big man to bring down there. I mean, he caught it right in the middle. No one covering him. Looks like there was some type of zone coverage. And they needed 2-3 men just to bring him down.
You know, that was a heck of a play there by Tanguma. And, you know, I've heard some criticism about him that he's not a Division I prospect. But, you know, regardless of whether the fact is if he is or he isn't, you know, you can't deny the fact that he has been a tremendous asset for this team. And there making that first down is just another classic example of why he helps his team out.
That's
a lot.
That's a classic example of a go-to guy on fourth down.
First and 10 here. Yellow Jackets in a tight formation. It's a handoff to Cisneros, sweep to the right. Able to turn the corner before he's finally pushed out of bounds. It was a first and goal. It appears the ball was spot originally at the 9-yard line. Not quite sure. I can't really see the spot.
But right now, it appears they're at the 3-yard line with a second and goal. The crowd gets into the game here. We got people standing up on both sides.
Well, the Yellow Jackets do have their first opportunity to put some points here on the board. Second and goal at about the 3-yard line. It's a quarterback keep. Daniel going to push his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Yellow Jackets. Quarterback Eric Nino on a follow off the left side of the line with Roger Garcia lead blocking for him. Takes it into the end zone for the 6 points. Got a little update here from, I want to say it was EE Powerhouse, letting us know that Mission is up 7-0. Come on, man. That can't be. But I believe this one, Mercedes up 7-0 on Cal Allen. Interesting. Well, the PAT attempt by Miguel Garcia, the snap, the hold, the kick, it's up.
There's a flag on the play.
It is good, though, pending the penalty.
Apparently it is on the defense, and the penalty is declined. With 8:19 left, you got Eric Chelsea 7, TM Warriors 0.
Well, we'll use this opportunity to take a quick pause for the cause. You are listening to Ed Gautosa Sports Radio.
While you enjoy the game, JBR Digital Imaging is hard at work bringing you all the up-close and personal snapshots of Ed Gautosa football. Visit eejackets.com/JBR to access JBR Digital's .photo account, which ultimately will allow you to see snapshots of tonight's game as well as others. Oh, there he goes again. JBR Digital Imaging, a proud sponsor of Ed Gautosa Sports Radio.
EEJackets.com, your number one sports authority for everything. Ed Gautosa.
And we are set to kick off after the Yellow Jacket touchdown, and it is a pooch kick, and it will be fair caught at the 30-yard line. So the Toluso Midway Warriors will take over first and 10 at the 30 as the Yellow Jackets look to have a second defensive stop here. The Jackets, of course, on the previous drive of the Warriors managed to force them into a fourth down, in which case the Yellow Jackets managed to punt a block, which led to a 27-yard drive, which ultimately then led to a Yellow Jacket touchdown. First and 10 here, and it appears that the Warriors are in a pro set. Handoff, dive up the middle, right middle of the line, and good enough for a couple yard gain as big old number 78, Louis Garcia, on the tackle.
You know, as big as that kid is, he's light on his feet.
Yeah, you know what? I remember him since he was a seventh grader, and he's always been that big. But, you know, he reminds me of a lot like Leon Lett.
Yes.
Just quick on his feet, you know, the big cat. Because, you know, he's probably about 300 pounds, big Louis Garcia.
Luis got some size on him, but he's got some track shoes on, I'll tell you that.
Well, the handoff was good enough for about a 4-yard gain, and we'll bring up a 2nd and 6 boss spot near the 34-yard line, as now the Warriors are in a tight set. Sweep to the left-hand side, and oh, the quick speed of number 56, John Castillo. You know, that's another lineman. You know, this whole defensive line for the Jackets is just tremendous. I mean, they're all seniors. They're all seniors.
You got some kids there that have been there 2-3 years already, going back to George Rubio days.
Yeah. You know, number 53, Paul Gomez, is obviously a senior. So is number 78, Louis Garcia. 56, John Castillo, is a senior. And number 58, Frank Rodriguez, is a senior. So a senior defensive line for the Yellow Jackets having its way here, as on second down, they do gain a yard. It'll bring up 3rd and about 5 for the Warriors as they come out in a spread formation. Motion. Roll to the right. Has a receiver. Oh, almost able to bring it down with one hand. But good play there by number 31, Ismael Ibarra, to help jar that ball loose.
So Loso's still trying to set up some type of offense here, and they just can't seem to get going. They're trying a little bit of a toss sweep, a little pass play.
Well, the thing that I think Tolosa would have to worry about most is the Ed Calchelsa offense. But early on in this game, certainly having problems with the Ed Calchelsa defense.
Yes, and here comes that fourth down punt. Well, Ed Calchelsa has two guys deep. Looks like they're appearing to set up some type of punt return on this.
Well, the ball will be kicked, and it's a sharp kick. It gets a nice roll at about the 35, goes to about the 30. And it will finally roll to a complete stop at the 25-yard line. And, wow.
There's some hitting going on down there.
A series of events that had just unfolded I'm sure you can hear the boos. Well, it was Roger Garcia and Felix Garcia that were deep to receive the punt. And what ended up happening, the ball was hit at such a sharp angle, it was uncatchable. So they let it roll. Roger Garcia decides to throw a block on one of the lead men that was going downfield to stop it. It was a legal block. Well, he sits him down on his ass.
He put him down pretty good.
Yeah, well, the guy gets up. Roger Garcia thinks the ball's going to be, you know, the play's over. He kind of turns around a little bit, and the guy gets up and sits him down himself. So they sat each other down.
They traded blows right there.
But you know what? The ball hadn't been whistled in. It was a legal block.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So, both were legal blocks. As on first and 10, it was a option to the right-hand side. Nino cuts up field and picks up maybe about 6 yards there. Ball was spot at about the 14-yard line. Now, with the Eric Nino run, we'll be spotting out at about the 22. It'll bring up a second and 2 for the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, they had a trip set up right there looking to pass. And Nino just picked up the ball, and he just decided to take it upfield.
Do want to welcome the 41 listeners out there. All right.
Sounds like we got a crowd.
As on second down and 2, it appears to have been a quarterback keeper. Sneak up the middle, and it is good enough for a first down officially. Will be a 4-yard pickup for quarterback Eric Nino. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of people have been talking about is Eric Nino MVP of the Valley? I mean, definitely, I think, without hands down, MVP of 32-4A.
You know, a lot of people argue it. I just don't see no argument. He's hands down the MVP for the Valley.
First and 10 here. Nino back to pass and has a receiver open. Jesse Haloma with a sliding catch. And it is caught near the 44-yard line. It'll be a 19-yard pickup for the Yellow Jackets, first and 10 from the 44.
Yeah, that was a nice little pass by Nino with Haloma pretty much wide open in the flats. Crowd still getting into it. Some of them still haven't sat down since the national anthem.
Well, it's set for an exciting game here as the Jackets keep moving the ball. This drive originally started at about the 14. Now Roger Garcia with a sweep has a little hole, pushing through, fighting through, earning some tough yards, and passes midfield into Warrior territory.
You know, if that play is any indication of the game, Ed Calchelsa, they had every man on every Tolosa Midway defender. And Roger just took an extra 3-4 yards on his own there. That's a good blocking upfield by the offensive line.
Well, it'll bring up a second and about 1. Ball spot at the 47-yard line. Jackets sticking to the tight formation. You know, there's no need for them to risk passing the ball. They've seemed to have been pretty successful with a run. As Nino will keep it, and this time he is going to be stuffed. He tried to squeeze between the two defensive tackles. But a good job there by the defensive tackles for the Warriors to quickly close the hole or whatever hole Nino saw. A couple of boos coming from the Warriors sideline as Roger was downfield and he sat down his second player of the game.
Yeah, it seems Rogers coming to this game with a little bit of aggression there.
Well, but, for good reason, you know.
Good reason, you know. It's playoff time, baby.
And I don't want to go into the circumstances of earlier this week. But I'm sure that he has a lot of aggression to unleash. as it'll be third and about two. Nino got the first down, driving his feet. Passes near the 40.
You know, it appears that not only Rodgers and one lane blocks downfield, as the other, who was the number 20 there, he laid a block at least 15 yards downfield.
I don't remember who number 20 is, but I'm going to check the unofficial website of the Ed Cowchells Yellow Jackets, which is eejackets.com, which, by the way, is the sponsor of tonight's broadcast for the roster. And I think Brian Castillo is number 20, but I just wanted to throw in that plug.
Well, that's a good throw-in right there.
It will be first and 10, ball spot at the 40. Nino back to pass, has to scramble, and will avoid the rush, avoids two guys, going to run with it. Nice block there by Artie Tanguma. Finally brought out of bounds, and there's going to be a flag that flies. Apparently, they didn't feel that Tanguma's block was legal.
It appears that he had a little bit too much helmet on his shoulder pads, on the back end, that is. And it is blocking the back. No, it's a holding on Ed Cartel. So I guess Tanguma laid the block and just decided to lay on top of him.
Well, he's a big guy, and he could probably do that because, let's face it, you know, no one's going to push him off.
You know,
he's another one that's probably, you know, about 300 pounds. No, I'm lying to you. He's about 260, 270.
Yeah, 260, 270, depending on what, if it's an enchilada day or Subway.
Well, the 6-7 yard gain originally by quarterback Nino instead is negated, and it'll take the Jackets back 10 yards to midfield. It'll be first and 20 for the Jackets.
Jacket set up with appears to be a one back set. Roger Garcia deep back there. Now he's on motion.
So it is an open set, no backs in the backfield. Obviously a passing down here, as Nino's gonna have to avoid the rush. Two guys to beat, and decides just to throw that the ball away. You know what? You haven't seen that very often from quarterback Eric Nino.
You know, Nino comes out there and he just looks so elusive. I just can't imagine as a player being down there trying to tackle this big guy. I mean, what's he coming at you about, 6'3", 180?
Yeah. Well, but usually he is that elusive that he manages to avoid the rush and makes – he's a playmaker. But in that instance, they had him trapped, and he opted to just throw the ball away and try to get it on second down.
You know, that's a pretty heads-up play there by Nino. That's a senior quarterback there, your Valley – candidate for MVP of the year.
Well, ball still in midfield, second down and 20. Nino rolls to the left, looking. Oh, he is hit hard, but at least it's the ball. It is going to be intercepted by the Warriors. Returned to the 40, finally brought down by a series of Yellow Jackets, and Nino was hit hard as he released that ball. You know what the funny thing is? You had the Warrior in coverage right in the middle, and you had a receiver, Ed Couch receiver, right below him, and a Ed Cauchoso receiver right below, right above him, and you know, I don't know which one Nino was going for, but both of them were open, and he just threw it to the wrong guy.
it just looked like he threw it off his back foot.
Well, and he was just trying to get rid of it. He saw two guys open.
Yeah.
It just so happened that there was a safety that was between them, and there was about a 5 yard gap in between all of them, you know, and that is his fifth interception of the year, or excuse me, the sixth now. So you don't throw very many of his interceptions. Well, you know, something that we haven't seen the Warriors do was pass the ball. And on their first pass attempt, the ball was caught for about a 5 yard gain. And the receiver did manage to break the first tackle. But on the second tackle, good job there. And I didn't get to see the number, but it was a strip. And the ball was recovered by the Yellow Jackets. So they take over first and 10. And, you know, ironically, the ball is at the 40. So originally, before all this started, before the holding penalty, that's where the Jackets had it. So everything is negated, and it'll be first and 10 from the 40. Roger with some room to run off the left side. Was that a screen, a pass, or was that a run?
At the 27-yard line, first and 10 with 2:22 to go.
And you know what? It just may be that he is still shaken up a little bit from that hit. It was a vicious hit. It was the type of hits that you see in the movies where you know, the guy, it's like one of those career-ending hits that you see. But, and of course, Nino getting up, not really fazed by it at all. Well, at least I don't think he is. As on first down, Nino back to pass and just cannot hit Smiley Morales, who dives out to try to, or dives to try to get that ball, but is unable.
You know, I think Nino was a little shook up there because he had Smiley pretty much wide open in the field with a zone coverage.
Just unable to place it, you know, where like he characteristically does. And you know what? I think Coach Elise might need to take into consideration that maybe he is still a little shaken up. I'm telling you, it was not a pretty hit at all. It was rather vicious. So I think you've been talking all this time and nobody's been hearing you. Did you unplug that or what? How
no.
did that? All right, well, our second guest is back. He's been talking all this time and nobody's been hearing him. the mic apparently unplugged itself.
And Coach also comes up at 3rd and 10.
Apologize there. Unable to catch the second down play as I was
experiencing technical difficulties up here.
And you can see from the game clock, 1:54 here remaining, as the Yellow Jackets hold on to a 7-point advantage. Tight formation. Handoff, 21, Brandon Martinez, and not a lot of room for him. And that's an interesting call on a third down. Was that a third down or second down? No, it was a third down.
That was third down. Brings up fourth and eight, it appears.
And the Jackets do, of course, have a great kicker. From where the ball is spot right now, it would be about a 42-yard field goal. But it appears that Miguel Garcia is still on the sidelines. The Yellow Jackets will go for it. Fourth and about 7. Ball at about the 25-yard line. Spread formation on fourth down here. And this will be the second fourth down attempt if the Jackets can convert it. As Nino rolls to the right, has Jalomo open. First down inside the 10 to about the 7-8-yard line.
You know, Edcuffs, they keep going through that zone, and sooner or later, Toloso's going to have to find an answer for that, because once they go in a zone, and when you got Eric Nino on the outside, he's going to pick you apart.
And, you know, this is critical. The fact that you can convert those fourth downs, I mean, that's the mark of a champion, in my opinion.
Oh. Wow.
Roger Garcia working off the left side of the line, working for a hard couple yards, and is just short of the end zone.
It appears to be inches short, which will bring a second and goal at the 2-inch line.
And of course, this drive, I'm getting a couple questions here. This drive did start after the Yellow Jackets threw an interception, and the Warriors, on their first play after the interception, fumbled the ball, and the Yellow Jackets took over at the 40, and now find themselves at about the 1-foot line with a second down handoff to number 21. I believe that's Brandon Martinez. You know, I get the two confused. We got two juniors, which is Ryan Castillo and Brandon Martinez, and of course Roger Garcia. All three of them are juniors. So it's going to be interesting. You know, people worry about, well, how's Ed Couch going to be? Especially, you know, I was talking about how Ed Couch is losing their senior defensive line. Well, we got three quality junior running backs coming back next year, and those three guys. And I want to say that was Brandon Martinez there that got the handoff or got the touch for the touchdown.
Welcome to postseason, Brandon.
And the snap, the kick, the hold, it's up. It is good. So, with 9 seconds remaining in the first quarter, your Yellow Jackets 14, Tallulah Midway Warriors 0. Well, we'll use this as an opportunity to take a quick pause for the cause. You are listening to Ed Couchelsa Sports Radio.
Baseball, football, basketball, soccer, Even if we had swimming or underwater basket weaving, we would cover it on EEJackets.com.
We are back here, broadcasting live from Taluso Midway in Corpus Christi at Warrior Stadium for this bi-district matchup between the Edcal Chelsea Yellow Jackets and the Taluso Midway Warriors. Miguel Garcia set to kick off. Another squib kick touched at about the 30, rolls to the 25. Difficulty picking it up. Finally has to fall on it as there will be no return. And the ball will be spot at about the 24-23-yard line. First and 10 for the Warriors.
Toloso sets up here and trying to get some type of offense going, but they've been playing some pretty good defense. And Tanguma seems to have adjusted to the middle linebacker spot.
I'll tell you this much, man. He is definitely coming to his own right now. And it doesn't look like we're missing the original starter.
No. I mean, he might be an inch taller and about 30 pounds heavier, but he's playing in there with him.
Well, on first down, Warriors going to the air and complete their second attempt. This time they hold on to the ball there. There is no fumble.
No, but... let's go back to Tanguma again. At the middle linebacker spot, the plays to the sideline, and he's just going to look for somebody and picks a guy off and puts a guy on the ground there.
Well, that's the end of the first quarter as both teams exchange sides of the field. Your score, 14-0 in favor of Edcal Chelsea in this bi-district matchup. And, I look over to the Taluso Midway side, and the reserve section is sold out, but you look to the general admission, some empty seats there. And, let me take a gander over here to the Edcal Chelsea side. Not an empty seat in sight. I know that they set up, well, of course, the seats next to us here in the press box are empty. My co-host being here a little sarcastic. But it'll be second and about three, as the last reception was good for about 7 yards. Taluso will stick to the spread formation and will attempt to pass here. A quick route picked up by number 9 and two good blocks there by the Warriors. It's a race. And it will be a touchdown for the Warriors. The corner on the coverage, I want to say it's number 26, Felix Garcia, jumps up. It was a jump ball. He tried to get the pick. The receiver had a slight edge in height, managed to take it out of Felix Garcia's hands, and Felix Garcia, of course, falls down, is unable to make the tackle, and then it was another receiver in the area. The safety was there, which was Isaac Prado, does a hell of a job of making a great downfield block, which essentially allows the receiver to spring free, and it was one man to beat, and it was number 14, Hardy Tanguma, who, you know what, almost got him for about 25 yards. They were running, extended his arm, but just couldn't get him through his fingertips. As the Warriors on a long touchdown pass, it was probably about 70 yards, right? I didn't get to see where the ball was spotted.
It has to be about 70 yards, but you gotta give it to the defense. They're not just gonna sit back and let these guys pick them off in the zone. They're gonna come up on them, and that's what happens when you try to bite and get the pick there. Garcia was probably a good maybe half second too late on that. And about a couple inches short off the ball.
And that's part of the part of gambling. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And in that case, it cost the Yellow Jackets a touchdown. As now the score stands 14-7, after the PAT was up and good.
That brought the Taluso fans up. They woke up there because they had nothing to cheer about for the first quarter.
And indeed, it's been a. A Yellow Jacket quarter for the most part, but now the Warriors have found themselves on the board and do have now a bit of momentum on their side. And you know what? If I was Sendejo right here, as you set up to kick the ball, I would do an onside kick.
I would not kick to Roger Garcia.
No, I would not either. But you got momentum on your side. Then I don't think the Jackets are expecting an onside kick right now. This is what I would do. But of course, Sendejo will opt to kick it deep, and it'll be number 11, Ismael Morales, who will take the ball, and he crosses the right hand side, still running past the 40, and will be tackled near the 40 yard line.
That was a good run there by number 11. And they opted not to kick to Garcia, but Eckhart still gets the ball up to the 40-yard line.
Well, he caught it. He was on the – it was kind of interesting there because he caught it at the 20, and Morales was on the left side of the field, and he runs all the way across. I guess they had a wall right called, but, you know, that was just one of those things where he had to run all the way across. I mean, he ran for a lot, but most of it was from sideline to sideline. It will be a 20-yard gain, though, or 21-yard return.
Either way you look at it, he did had a good return there. They set up at a 1st and 10. There's a flag on the play. There was still 8 seconds on the game clock, so it might have been that they broke the huddle.
Yeah, it is an illegal substitution. I think you're right. They broke the huddle while there was a man still on the field trying to exit. And part of the reason why that rule is in existence because you don't want to fool the defense thinking that that's a receiver that's going out. He's actually going out of the game. And it's just to keep the game fair, you know.
Yeah, that's fine. They just need to learn from that and keep their mind focused and see how they can do here. And it appears they got some confusion on the offense.
It is a 1st and 15. Ball out at the 35. Spread. Motion to the left. It is trips left now. Nino back to pass. Has to scramble to avoid one guy. Crosses the line of scrimmage and dives forward for some positive yards. Maybe have gotten back to the original line of scrimmage.
Brings up a 2nd and 10, 2nd and 11. You know, you got to wonder what's all the confusion going on. They're putting guys in at the last second. Guys are going on the field. And brings up a 2nd and 11.
Well, part of the confusion is they're switching back and forth from that spread formation to the slot T formation as the ball be handed off to Roger Garcia. And he is just met at the line there. And, you know, there's no excuse for that to happen. Someone is missing their blocks bad. I mean, there's no way that something like that can happen, dude.
I think that was Toloso's middle linebacker who made the big play there. That looked like a straight dive up the middle, and there was nobody blocking that play there.
I mean, that's somebody miskeyed there as Rogers met actually behind the line as he loses 2 yards there. And he, of course, is a swarm of Warriors come and make the tackle to secure the 2 yard loss. As now on 3rd and about 13, the Yellow Jackets with a trip formation to the left. Nino rolls to the left, looks, has Felix Garcia open in the middle, and a great job there by number 44, the middle linebacker, to jump up there and block the ball. You know what? He had Felix Garcia open there.
He had Felix past the first down marker. But once again, Nino, that ball is just a little bit underthrown, and you just got to wonder, does he have any effects from that hit he got in the first quarter?
Well, you know, it appears he is talking to Coach right now, and the coach went ahead and waved him off. He must be, I mean, he's not fazed by it. It's just something that he probably needs to just regroup and get with the team right now and get himself ready here as on 4th down and about 14 from about the 36-yard line. The Yellow Jackets are in a punt formation and are set to punt the ball. Miguel Garcia deep. The snap, the punt, caught at about the 25-yard line, has a lot of room to run, and will be tackled just past the 45-yard line at about the 47.
It's a big salary with the tackle.
It is a 40-yard punt, and it will be about a 21-yard return, so great job there by the Warriors to return the ball there. They did get it to about the 46-yard line, not quite in Yellow Jacket territory, but will have an opportunity to redeem themselves and possibly tie up this game. As on a tie formation, it's a pitch to the left, has not very much room to run.
Fumble on the play, and appears.
Now the coaches are yelling fumble opposite of the way, but the refs are real calm there. They appear pretty content that he was either down or, well, obviously the jacket recovered it, but they're saying he was down. So
You know, that ball looked like it popped out way before he hit, before he went down.
It's a little difficult. It did happen on the opposite side of the field from our angle, and definitely from the coach's angle. It is hard to tell, but nonetheless, it is a one-yard gain. It'll bring up second and about nine. Ball at the 47, and we have that tight formation, motion to the right. Quarterback drops back to pass, looking for receivers, and just dumps the ball off there. Oh, it's Joseph Garcia almost making acrobatic.
Acrobatic.
There you go. I was going to say arrow something.
Acrobatic. Let me Google that real quick, and we looked that up there.
He was doing one of those acrobatic tippy-toe. Oh,
he tried to stay inbound, and then it appears that Midway's quarterback tried to just throw it away, didn't realize that Garcia was so close, and actually Garcia almost came up with a pick right there. Either way, it sets up a third and nine for the Warriors, and head coach looks like they're putting some stop troops up now. We got third and nine on the 47.
Quarterback back to pass, has a receiver open. Oh, and that's going to be intercepted.
That's going to the house there.
Number 31 is Maui Bada.
That's house all
to the
way.
10, to the 5.
Touchdown. Yeah, that was being at the right place at the right time there.
That was a, oh my God, look what I found.
You know, he sat there for a good 1-2 seconds.
I think the ball hit him right in the gut. I think he might have taken his air out.
I think I have the ball. He's sitting there, and everyone's yelling go, and the kid's sitting down with the ball.
Well, you know, it was a quick slant, and actually, he was wide open. It was the safety that made the interception, Ismael Ibarra. But the ball was just a little too high for the intended receiver, and it fell right into the hands of Ismael Ibarra. He returns it nearly 50 yards for the touchdown. So the Jackets catching a break here on defense, and the defense puts up 6 points here as Miguel Garcia lines up for the extra point. Wow. The snap, the kick, it's up. It is no good. You know, that one just might have been barely no good. Because from our angle up here, definitely good. But, of course, you know, given the angle it is, it's always deceptive to see. You know, you can't really tell unless you're underneath the crossbars.
You know, the last time I was on this field, I didn't miss from that side. But that was quite a few years ago when it was a little bit windier that time.
Oh, that's right. A former kicker in the house. So you know all about kicking.
You know, we had, I believe that was...
But, of course, back in your day, the crossbars only had to be 20 feet in height, as opposed to the 30 feet, which is the recommended by, of course, the UIL.
The wind's coming out of the east, probably maybe just 5-10 miles an hour. So I can't really say that it was the wind that did that.
That was just
a little pool.
I'm looking over here to the stands and I see the bubbles.
The bubbles are in the house.
Bubble Man, and I forget what he's referred to as, but I'm calling him Bubble Man right now. Is apparently in the house and is unleashing his fury of bubbles as Miguel Garcia will pooch kick it, and it's going to go out of bounds at about the 37, and I'm sure that they're going to probably take the ball there as opposed to having another kickoff.
Coach Lee's, I guess, he has his reasons why they're doing that, but I can't see any right now because I don't see much of a threat from TM as far as any breakaway speed other than a busted coverage. But Coach Solis knows what he's doing down there, and they're going to re-kick this ball.
Well, I guess they do opt to re-kick, and, you know, that's a little surprising. I would have thought that they would have taken it there. It's pretty good field position.
No? Well, wait a minute. The kickoff team, the defense is going on the field at the 42-yard line of Tolosa Midway.
So, indeed.
With 8:50 left, you got Yellow Jackets 20, Tolosa 7, and the crowd's getting back into the game with a couple of cheers from the cheerleaders there, and we're still looking for the mascot. I believe the mascot got held back having to pay for parking for everybody.
Well, I can't believe we had to pay for parking. That was unbelievable. Well, first and 10, ball at spot at the 42. And immediately goes back to the air. And you know what? From the first two series, we saw Coach Sandejar for the Warriors running. I think he's pretty convinced now that his running game is not going to be as effective as he originally thought. And for the last three series, and of course that one of them being that 70-yard touchdown, we have seen nothing but passes. And of course, with the exception of that touchdown the previous series, there was an interception. So maybe Sandejar might second guess himself and go back to the run. I don't know.
I challenge him to keep going to that side, because you got a 3-year letterman on that side who doesn't make many mistakes.
Wow, that's got to be an illegal screen, man. Is that not an illegal screen? It's close. You know, man. Well, because it looks like he stopped and he didn't try to. What you had is you had an inside receiver and an outside receiver on the spread. The inside receiver went about 7 yards and just stops, but he didn't turn around for the ball. He stopped. It looked to me like to kind of wall off the safety who was in coverage, and then of course the outside receiver just pretty much ran an inside slant and of course was wide open there. But I guess you know what? I don't call games, so a legal play there is third down.
Oh
my God! Tacuma intercepted the ball. He's taking it to the 30. Oh, brought down at about the 29-yard line. What?
You know, they can say all they want about him, but
he
played tight end, middle linebacker, and a little bit of a drop back coverage DB in a nickel package. I'd be calling some scouts right now for this boy right here.
Where is Jake Berry from RGVSN.com? We got some highlights here you got to see, man. These are great, man.
Jake needs to get out of Edinburgh. Get out of Edinburgh and come up here because Tanguma, almost like the last interception, he kind of surprised that the ball went right at him instead of the...
Well, you know, that was one where Tanguma made a great break for the ball. It was a poorly thrown pass, though, but nonetheless, Tanguma with a pick is on first down. Roger's going to take it to the house with a handoff up the middle. Touchdown, Roger Garcia. From 29 yards out.
Yeah, Roger's running with a purpose tonight. You can see that he's got something to prove out there, and the kid's doing real good tonight. He's ran a couple of sweeps, a couple of dives, and he just took that one down the gut.
And you know, that is actually Roger's second touchdown, rushing touchdown. He does have about four on the season, but that is only his second touchdown of the regular and postseason combined, right? Which is a little surprising because, you know, I would have thought that he would have been the go-to guy, with the running.
I'll tell you this, he's not the go-to guy this year.
Oh, well, Miguel Garcia slipping on the kick, but it still looked like it's up as the crowd kind of bursts here in disbelief as it is waved no good.
You know, Garcia gets that ball up a good 30, 40 feet up and kicks it well past the track. But for whatever reason, he's missing to the left a little.
Well, we do have a slight wind coming out of the south. And, of course, actually the south-southwest. And Garcia trying to kick against that wind. And it just may be that the ball is wavering, being that it is so high, and it's just barely missing the uprights. I'm telling you, it looks real good. I mean, if it missed, it was by maybe a couple feet. Well, nonetheless, the kick ruled no good. The score, 26-7. This last touchdown coming off of a turnover, an interception by the most unlikely of people, Artie Tanguma, doing it all so far. The ball's going to be kicked high. And you know what? Miguel Garcia is just not having the type of game that he expects. And the fans are just booing. You know what? I think they're actually booing Coach Solis there. And
this kid has a good leg. And you got to see that's being asked for by somebody on the sideline, because this kid can't kick it all the way to the end.
Well, it's one of those things where they want to pin him with no return. But, I don't remember Miguel Garcia doing this all season long. He's never really attempted these type of kicks. And it's a kick you know, it's a really special kick to try to kick it only about 15, 20 yards, but have it nice and high so the return t- or the kickoff teams can get underneath it and make the tackle for no return.
He just he doesn't look comfortable doing that. He does not look comfortable. He's got the kicking coach talking to him right now, and we'll see if we can get that straightened out.
Well, Tallulah will start with really good field position. First and 10 from the 44, a spread formation, trips to the left, rolls to the left, has time, has a receiver, caught, and is going to be brought down by number 18, Isaac Prado, finally pushed out of bounds, and picks up maybe about 4 or 5 yards as ball will be spotted at the 48-yard line.
You know, with a good lead that they have, appears to be a 19-point lead, Eckhart's going into a soft zone, keeping everything in front of them, and they're just going to wait and see what Tolosa brings.
Second down and about 6 here. Ball at the 48-yard line. Trips to the right, and it's the same play now to the right-hand side as the quarterback will roll for his life. Has receiver, catches it, and he's going to say out of bounds. He did catch the ball, but as he was catching it, his forward momentum took him out of bounds and did not make the catch. Well, I mean, he made the catch, but he was out of bounds.
Yes, yes. The catch was made. He tried to go forward, but stepped out of bounds. Brings up a 3rd and 6. At the 45, at the 48-yard line of the Warriors. You know, this being the first playoff game for Tolosa in quite a few years, they actually have a decent crowd. Even though they it's not filled up, you got to give it to them that they came out to support their team out here.
Getting a report here, I don't believe this. Mercedes 14, Cal Allen 7.
You know, I'm going to have to, good defensive play there by the Jackets. As Tolosa tries to run an inside slant, and appears to be a 4th and 1.
The ball was caught there, but Felix Garcia holding on to the receiver for his dear life, preventing him from getting those extra yards. He was holding him from the back of the jersey as the receiver was trying to work his way, and Garcia managed to hold him just long enough for the cavalry to arrive and make the tackle. As now there will be a measurement to determine whether it was a first down or not.
And I'm going to try to see if I can get the score for us, but I can only assume that Mercedes is winning 14-7 down in the valley.
Well, we do have the JV coaches for Ed Calchelsa in attendance of that game, of course, taking a look at Cal Allen. JV coaches, of course, and they wanted to tune into tonight's ball game. But unfortunately, they said they were having technical difficulties. But that, of course, being JV coach George Franco, Armando Alanis, Javi Zavala, and Mike Whalen. Those guys, hopefully, they were able to overcome their technical difficulties and tune in to tonight's ballgame. Well, after the measurement, it was indeed short by about a yard. It'll bring up 4th and 1. And both sides of the both home and visitor side on their feet. As on 4th down. Oh, we got a false start there. Come on, blow the whistle.
There's a false start on Tolosa.
No, there's no whistle, man. There was no whistle there. It appeared that the tight end appeared to have taken off early. But you know what? There is no whistle. And judging by where they are spotting the ball, and the coaches here on the sideline for the LJX are just going crazy. They can't believe that there was no flag there.
You know, this goes back to kicking it deep and make them go the full length of the field.
I didn't get quite to see where the ball was spotted originally, but looking at there, I think they're short.
It's gonna be close. If they're short, they're short by a couple inches. And they're setting up there. They're setting up, and it appears that
they did
not get it. Initial, no, they did not. It'll be Calchelsa ball at the Calchelsa 46-yard line. with 7:13 left, FC Chelsea takes over with a commanding lead right now. And try to see if we can get some updates on the scores down in the valley, as we got Mercedes hosting Cal Allen and Westco East hosting Flower Bluff.
This one coming from RGVF moderator, Mission 14, Alice 7. That's a shocker right there.
That's a surprise, because Alice comes to the playoffs with a very good team there.
Well, on first down, Nino rolls to the left, keeps it, dances around a couple times, still moving forward. Oh, breaks an open, has a seam to the 40, to the 30, and still on his feet, running left, running right. Breaks another tackle, two tackles, has three guys on him, and finally he's going to be brought down. Wow.
You know, it appeared he had the end zone all the way, and he tried to get a comeback lane, and excuse the term, but he appears to be a man amongst boys when he's running with the ball.
About a 34-yard run there, and you know what? I really apologize. I really wish you guys could see this, because words cannot accurately describe the type of run that we just witnessed.
He's
been doing this all season, by the way.
He definitely has a good vision of the field. They set up with one back.
First and 10, ball at the 20. Nino has Tanguma diving, and they're going to rule it incomplete, as the ball appeared to have hit the ground before it got to Tanguma. It'll bring up a second and 10.
Air couch is going from north to south. There's still a slight breeze. Actually, the flag seemed to have stalled. I know we had a report earlier from San Antonio about an hour ago that the front had blown in there, but I doubt it gets here before the game's over.
Another update coming from RGVF moderator, Westlake 14, Flower Bluff 14. Second down, Nino drops back to pass, has to scramble, has a receiver, hits number 12, Jesse Halomo, gets the first down, is fighting for some more yards, and is going to be finally pushed out of bounds.
You know, it's kind of hard when Tolosa actually came in with the outside linebacker on a full-out blitz there, as he didn't have anyone to cover, and he still could not get a hold of Nino. Nino is that elusive to where you got to bring more than one guy.
Well, the reception by Halomo, good enough for the first down. It'll bring up a first and goal, as the ball will be spotted at about the 7-yard line. Shotgun, hand up to Roger, to about the 5, still pushing his way. Maybe a pickup of about 2. It'll bring up second and goal from the 5-yard line.
Roger just ran into a couple of big boys there, and trying to look for something, trying to find some daylight. As he could smell the end zone, he's at the 5-yard line there. Because that puts the ball on the short side of the field, and you can think they're going to run something to the west side, as they got plenty of room to go that way.
Well, second down here. I'm sure this is fourth down territory if the Jackets are able to get it, but of course they still have plenty of downs here to try to attempt. As on second, Nino back to pass again, rolls to the right, cuts back to the left side, tucks it in, is going to keep it in, and he's going to make his way into the end zone, but we have a late flag flying out there, and it's probably going to be a block at the back. And an acrobatic move there by quarterback Nino, who kind of did one of those sideways walks to maintain his balance and not go out of bounds. He does work his way into the end zone, but as I mentioned earlier, the flag will most likely negate this touchdown run by Nino.
You know, with the way he plays back there, especially in these goal line situations, there's one quarterback that comes to mind for those Texas Longhorn fans, and that's the playmaking ability of Vince Young.
Indeed, indeed. As the penalty will push the Yellow Jackets back, maybe about 7 yards, as it is a spot foul. It'll still be second and goal, but the ball will be spotted at the 12-yard line. As Jackets come out in a spread formation.
We got Big Tanguma on the far right side.
Motion, trips to the right. Shotgun, back to pass. Looking for Jesse Halomo in the end zone.
Touchdown.
With a catch. Touchdown.
Paloma with a 12-yard reception, a little quick slant into the middle of the field. Appeared they caught Tolosa in a man-to-man coverage. And it's kind of hard. It's hard to defend a man-to-man when you got a guy slanting inside you.
They sent trips to the right-hand side there, and indeed, you're right. It was a man-to-man coverage. Jesse Palomo on the backside, and Nino was just looking at him the entire way. It was a no-brainer where he was going, and puts the ball in a nice little tight spot, which is good enough for the touchdown. And Tanguma is running down the track here, firing up the crowd as everyone is on their feet, thrilled. But apparently we have a timeout here. We are missing a player. Oh, coach is not going to be too happy about this one. The Yellow Jackets have to call a timeout because Tanguma was supposed to be in the game for the extra point.
You know, the kid's playing just about every play of this game. And the one play he sits down.
Well, you know what? He is right now. You know, if I was a rapper, this would totally fit in. But nonetheless, I'm going to say it anyways. He is crunked.
That would be the word.
He is crunked right now. But actually, no, I'm lying. They weren't even lined up for the PAT. I think Tanguma was out because he didn't realize the Jackets were going for two. And that's why he came off the field and was trying to pump up the crowd. But, of course, because he wasn't in there, the Jackets do have to call a timeout. And that's fine because I'm sure now they probably probably picked a different play here and will try to convert this two-point to make it a 34-7 game. Motion to the right. Nino back to pass. Avoids a rush and just throws it up to Tanguma, who redeems himself. He costs the Yellow Jackets a timeout, but he makes it up by catching the two-point conversion. And your score, with 5 minutes and 6 seconds remaining in the second quarter, your Yellow Jackets 34, the Warriors 7. Well, we'll use this as an opportunity to take a quick pause for the cause. You are listening to Ed Cachoso Sports Radio.
Ed Cachoso Sports Radio, brought to you by CV the Hispanic Titanic, alongside with the host, Perry Ellis, bringing you games live. The
high. EEJackets.com, your number one sports authority for everything. Ed Cachoso.
After the touchdown, the ball is kicked deep. A change of strategy here as the ball is caught near the 8-yard line, and immediately the Jackets on excellent coverage get down the field and maybe allow an 8-yard gain return there?
You know, I might have been talking a little bit too loud earlier when I said kick it deep, because that's exactly what they did.
And, of course, you're a man of genius. You're a man's man. I don't know what the hell that means, but that's you. And usually goes.
Whether that be me or whether it be Coach Solis, it was the right choice.
Well,
they're deep.
I'll tell you this much. They've been starting on average at about the 35-40 yard line the last four or five drives. This drive now is going to start at about the 12. This is the deepest they have pinned the Tolosa Midway Warriors. That's on first down. Drop back to pass, and he is going to feel the pressure. And the credit for the sack will be given to number 56, John Castillo.
You know, Coach Sandehar was on the news channel, I think it was Channel 3 up here in Corpus during the week, saying that they played Alice, they played Flower Bluff, Cal Allen, that they're used to playing the good teams. The bad part is that they lost to all of them.
What good does it do you to play them if you don't put up much of a fight? But you know what? It's a huge loss. It'll be about a 10-yard loss there. It'll be second and about 20. The ball will be spot at around the 8-yard line. as Shotgun Warriors back to pass, find a receiver, and he slips on his own. No flags out there.
That's what you call a sophist.
He did have a step there on Felix Garcia, number 26 for the Yellow Jackets, but you know, I didn't see any tangle in the feet, but didn't matter anyways because no flag was thrown, and the ball or the play will result in an incomplete pass. Third and about 20 now. A failed wave attempt here. One of the things we've been seeing for the last 3 or 4 games at the Yellow Jack games was the wave.
I'm doing my part up here.
3rd and 20. Shotgun back to pass. Unleashes the bomb. Has a receiver. But Isaac Prado will come out there and prevent anything from resulting from it.
You know, Toloso, they are it's time to pass for them. And it does not really look like that quarterback is comfortable passing back there.
Well, I don't know much about Toloso Midway, but if I know anything about Sandejar, I know he's not a passing coach. And he is one of those old-school coaches, just like Coach Solis is. And, you know, it's very hard for them to make the transition to the passing game. But you know what? I'll tell you this much. Sandejar does not have a horse like Eric Nino that makes the passing game transition easy.
No. Plus, he doesn't have the system that Solis has to have from the junior high to freshman to JV. Everybody win district again this year.
Well, the fourth down play was a punt. The punter manages to get the ball off. It is caught at about the 40. But the momentum in catching the ball resulted in the return man falling, so he actually loses about 3 yards. So the Jackets will take over in Warrior territory at about the 48-yard line. So it will be probably about a 40-yard punt there. So a nice job by the punter for the Warriors to pin. Well, I don't want to say pin him deep.
I don't know if you can say pin. I mean, well, Cortez has the ball.
To take him back as probably as, you know, not too bad, not too bad. Well, on first down, the pressure coming in, and number 44, once again, you've just seen that middle backer coming in almost on every play there. And this time he got to quarterback Nino. Nino had to dump the ball off to the running back in the flats, but it was just a little out of his reach there. As the ball falls incomplete, and it will bring up a 2nd and 10. A lot of good reports out there coming from some of
the Valley Land.
Yeah, Valley team's doing okay, but it appears now that some of those scores are changing.
Definitely. Would that be for the worse or for the better?
Well, for the worse.
Oh.
But I do want to wish them the best of luck. As on a trap play, Cisneros will be given the ball, and not a lot of room to run there. Maybe a couple yard gain there. It'll bring up a 3rd down.
You know, we haven't seen that formation in a while. That looked like a little A right there.
And a late flag flies out. And I wonder what that's about. And we have an unsportsmanlike conduct. Is that what that is? I forgot. I'm not.
Well, you know, you think you know it all till you get up here and you get lost in words up here.
Maybe
but,
you guys can help us out. The referee formed a T-shape with his face clenched.
Terrible. Terrible.
I'm guessing it's a 15-yard penalty. It's got to be an unsportsmanlike conduct. I mean, the play was over. It wasn't
and lost it down.
It wasn't a late hit. Well, on 3rd down. The Jackets have a long to convert, let me see, 10, 20, 21, 23 yards. As here on this 3rd down play, some little confusion lining up, finally gets in their spots and gets the ball off. Nino rolls to his left, has to shift back to his right, and he's going to be tackled there as it was another full out, all out blitz there by the Warriors. And you know what? The Warriors have come to realize that the only way they're going to have any attempt of stopping Nino is if they send all their backers.
Yeah, they're going to have to because looking at their defense there, they only had 4 guys deep, which means that they're sending the line and the linebackers. And unless you put some type of pressure or rush on Nino, he's either going to pick you apart by throwing it or just run it down the house. brings up a fourth and, whoa, it's got to be a good 22, 21 yards. There's a 3:05 left in the game. It's 34-7. And the flags are at a dead still right now. I know that report we had earlier that it was blowing pretty hard up in San Antonio. That's at least a good 120 miles north of here.
Well, the Jackets here, and got to give credit to the Warriors for some. I mean, granted, part of it was due to a offensive penalty, but nonetheless, doing a great job of stopping and stifling this Yellow Jacket offense that has been potent. Will force them to punt, and the punt block was on, but does manage to get the punt off, and it'll be caught near the 30, and he has some room to run. One man to beat, the kicker, and a good job blocking the kicker. He might take this to the house, to the 20, to the 10, and he's going to be pushed out of bounds just at about the 3-yard line. And you know, that wasn't even a fantastic punt. It was one of those punts where it was a low-flying bullet, and you can't have those because you give the return man a lot of space. I mean, typically what you'd like to have is a nice spiral high punt that will allow your defense or your punt team to get underneath it. Get downfield and get underneath it to make the tackle. And that was open daylight for about 20 yards there.
There's got to be something going on in our kicking game because that's very unlike.
Very unlike the El Pie de Oro, definitely. As on first down, it will be a toss, and he might have found his way into the end zone.
Yeah, he did.
Touchdown, Warriors. So an ecstatic crowd still in this game here for the Warriors, despite the fact that they still find themselves in a deficit.
The touchdown hankies are out, appears. But you got to give it to them for not being in the playoffs for 40-some years. Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, this is just a it's a great experience for them. I'm sure these seniors will remember this for a long, long time.
You know, you go into the playoffs, and the last thing you want is to have to go and face a top 10 team. And for the most part, that's what Eckhout had to do for quite a few years, where they had to face the number 3, the number 1, the number 5 team, and that being Cal Allen. Now that the tides have turned, and that shoe seems to fit Mercedes.
Indeed.
The last 3 years, they've gone up. They've played them tough, though. They've played them tough. They had a good game last year. And it appears it was tied a while ago. I'm not sure what the new score is.
I believe it was 21-14 in favor of Cal Allen.
Yeah, 21-14 up from the stock show.
Well, there appears to have been a timeout. I'm guessing that I didn't get quite to see who called it, but it was more than likely because of a 2-point attempt that the Warriors will probably try. But we'll find out here in a few seconds as both teams are set to return back to the line of scrimmage and start this point after play, or TD, post TD play. Point after attempt, I guess is what you say, right?
Point after attempt, yes. That would be right.
Points after attempt. Well, they are indeed lined up in a tight formation. Three receivers to the left. It's actually a bunch left. Quarterback rolls to the left. Has a receiver open. And that ball is going to be caught, but he is out of bounds.
Out of bounds.
Outside the back of the end zone as the referee steps up and waves it no good.
Is that Isaac Prado?
It appeared to have been Isaac Prado there, number 18 on the coverage. And, he caught it, but the receiver didn't have the presence of mind to know where he was at.
Right.
And he led himself. Well, it might have been the quarterback, too.
But you know what? The quarterback had to put it there
because Bravo was there in coverage and did manage to step in into the right place where if it would have been catchable, I think it would have been intercepted.
You know, when you're gonna make errors like this, like the Jackets have, I guess to say it's good to do it when you got a commanding lead, because you do those type of errors against quality teams, second, third, fourth, fifth round, you know, you're not gonna have a good ending.
Well, and so far, the Tallulah Midway's Warriors have gotten all their points on big plays. Yeah. Obviously, the long touchdown reception for about 70 yards and the long punt return for also probably about 70 yards, even though it wasn't good for a touchdown, it was good enough for a touchdown the following play. As Solis will call timeout here.
It appears that they were setting up for some type of onside kick towards the home side, because they had at least 7-8 guys on that side, all of them well at least 10 yards behind the ball trying to get a running start.
Well, you know, it's, I don't know if it was 8 guys. I know you do have to have 4 as part of UIL rules. You do have to have 4. No, 4 on the opposite side. So in all reality, you have 4, then the kicker, that's 5. You can only have 6 guys lined up on the opposite side and that you know, I mean, that's obviously not a rule in the NFL, but you know, you see what happens during onside kicks in the NFL. People get killed and laid out, and I think that's part of the UIL rules to avoid any such injuries. So they only allow 6 men to a certain side.
You know, I see what Coach Sandahar is doing, but with a quick strike offense that the Jackets have, I just kick this deep and take my chances with those 2 deep guys.
Well, the ball will be kicked deep, and number 26, Felix Garcia, on the reception, or on the catch, at about the 20, crosses the 30, crosses the 40, one man to beat, to the 50, the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the frickin' house, touchdown, Felix Garcia.
You know, the Garcia brothers, they came out today, and that is one guy I would not kick to. I mean, the kid has gone to the regional meet in the hurdles. I mean, you got to know that when you got a speedster like that, you got to kick it somewhere else, and they keep going to that corner. But I do not think that Coach Sandahar knew that Garcia went to that corner.
Well, both those guys are you know, both Garcias are back there, and they're both dangerous. Roger Garcia, that is, already does have a punt return and a kickoff return for a touchdown. He did have another one against Harlingen that was taken away. So, but nonetheless, he's, you know, Roger has 2, and now Felix gets his first of the season, or of the year. So both those guys are dangerous. And Tallulah Midway, of course, having to find out the hard way how dangerous Felix Garcia is, as it will officially be approximately an 80-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. Well, the Jackets line up in a 2-point conversion. Nino, back to pass, decides to step up, and he's going to try to fight his way, but he's going to be tackled for maybe a 1-yard gain, and it'll be no good. So your score with 2 minutes and 30 seconds, Ed Calchosa 40, the Warriors 13. Well, we'll use this as an opportunity to take a quick pause for the cause. You are listening to Ed Calchosa Sports Radio.
Want to know what happened in tonight's game? Look online at eejackets.com for stats, highlights, pictures, and more. Again, brought to you by eejackets.com, the unofficial website of the Yellow Jackets.
eejackets.com. Your number one sports authority for everything. Ed Calchosa.
We're back now. Ed Calchosa keeps the ball deep kick this time. Back all the way to the 5-yard line. And they got like a little middle return. And that's a decent return all the way down the middle up to the 40-yard line. That's it. Tallulah was set up with 2:22 left at their own 40-yard line.
Well, this time the Jackets not so fortunate there. They do kick it deep, but good job there by the Warrior return man to find a seam up the middle and work his way for a long return, about 35-yard return, as the Warriors will have 1st and 10 from the 40-yard line.
We got Big Tanguma back in there in the middle, dropping back in deep coverage. And this ball's thrown pretty deep. The ball is caught, but Garcia is out of bounds. That would be the other Garcia in...
Joseph Garcia. Yeah, great job there by Joseph. He had his eye on the ball the whole way as he was going back in his coverage. And a great job of holding on to the ball. But unfortunately, his momentum taking him out of bounds as the ref was all over that, calling it quickly as an incomplete pass.
Sets up second and 10. And Toloso going to some type of hurry-up offense. And with that one back set, trips to their side. And the quarterback under pressure. And he picks up about 5 yards up to the 45-yard line.
Managing to avoid a couple of Yellow Jacket defensive linemen there.
You had light on his toes, Louis, out there.
Yeah.
You know, Louis does go sideline to sideline.
It'll officially be a 3-yard gain. So the ball will be spotted at the 43-yard line. Third and about 7 for the Warriors as they line up in a bunch formation. Correction, a trips formation to the right. Shotgun for the quarterback. Back to pass. Looks to the flats. Has the receiver. Hits him. And running back diving forward for some yards, but he's going to be marked short of the first down by almost 2 yards.
Yeah, sets up about a fourth and 2. And there's no indication that they're going to punt the ball. They are 27 points down going into halftime.
And
you got the Toloso receivers looking at their wristbands as they're going to get a play on. There's 1:37 left. The clock is ticking.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's a quick. Oh, fumble!
Fumble on the play. Appears to be a low snap.
The quarterback could not handle the ball. So on fourth down, without putting much of an effort, the ball is turned over to the Yellow Jackets. First and 10. Do want to, once again, give a shout-out to the Arena Center in Elsa. Johnny Maldonado, of course, tuning in to tonight's ballgame, unable to make it, but says he has quite a crowd there tuning in, and they were joining the Ed Calchoso fans with the wave.
You know, as the defense came on the field, Coach Solis waved some of the linemen to stay on, and appears
It's probably a heavy set.
Heavy set pass protection.
As on first down, Smiley over the reception, he quickly has his feet taken out from underneath him, but an excellent job of holding on to the ball there. You know, and I think a lot of receivers probably would have dropped that pass as he was hit hard. But he holds on to it, good enough for a 5-yard gain, second and about 5 from the 39-yard line. Nino back to pass on second down, has Cisneros, and Cisneros is drilled hard, but he holds on to the ball again for the second time. Receivers for the Yellow Jackets doing a great job there and giving Nino all they got as they are being punished, but they are, you know, holding on to the ball.
You know, it's a good hit. Bring the fans waking up because they were kind of just sitting around there. But
you know, and that's the first time we've called Alex Cicero's name. He has gotten a couple handoffs, but he's been relatively silent as he gets his first reception, though, of the night. Back to pass again. Roger going to catch this one. And you know what? I think we got away with one there.
It looked like
Roger kind of pushed off a little bit.
I'm not sure if he was pushing off or he was trying to get something off his shirt. But it sets up a first down with 43 seconds left at the Toloso 10-yard line, or be a 9-yard line.
And it's an open set as there are 4 receivers to the right. One receiver, Tanguma by himself, to the left. And Nino has to scramble to his right and is going to be tackled for a loss.
And that does keep the clock going. We're hoping he might just throw the ball away there since it was a first down.
But instead takes the loss and it'll push him back nearly 6 yards to the 15-yard line. And now Solis calls the timeout.
Yeah, that sets up a second down. You know, not sure what Nina was looking for there, but it kind of looked towards the end like he just might want to throw it away. But the playmaker that he is, he's waiting for the last second, that last receiver, to try to open up maybe and try to get something for them.
Well, you know, it's always fun to play a coach. you know, to pretend to be a coach. If you were Coach Solis right now in this situation, second and 15, second and goal from the 15, what do you do on second down?
You know, what worked earlier, when they split set up with the twins to both sides, is that quick slant in pass. And they got those speedy receivers to go in there.
You know what? I would run an option. I would run an option play. I don't think they're expecting a run right now. I think they're expecting a pass with 25 seconds here before the half. But you know what? We'll see what the Jackets do. Is there is actually another empty set. Five receivers as Dino Pierce to audible. Drops back to pass and has a step on...
on Garcia.
Garcia has a step.
That's touchdown number three.
Yeah. You know what?
Four for the Garcia house.
That's just another well-placed ball there as Roger Garcia pulls down another Eric Nino touchdown pass with ease from 15 yards out.
You know, these TD passes that he's thrown the last couple, don't think that these guys are just wide open, you know, backyard football. Toloso's, they have a pretty good coverage. They're playing man-to-man, and the kid was right on Garcia, but the ball was thrown right in front of him in a perfect place for the touchdown.
Well, the Jackets appear to go for two. Play action. Nino going to have to roll to the right, and he's going to get the two-point conversion all by himself.
Yeah, that was a good play action to head out to the home side. And when he saw that nothing was there, he just took it to the other side, went to Toloso's side, and took it to the corner.
Well, you know, a very surprise from coming out of El Pie de Oro. Usually very consistent, maybe missed four, if that many at all, extra point attempts all season long, and now has two tonight, and it's surprised that the last two touchdowns, maybe even the last three touchdowns, Coach Solis has not tried any PATs or extra point attempts.
You know,
could he have lost faith?
It's not so much that he's trying to run up the score, because obviously that's not the case. But there seems to be some type of injury or something with Garcia to where he's just not able or not comfortable to get a good field goal right now. But good thing that these things happen.
Well, but he hasn't really been hit. I don't think he's injured. I think he just even his kickoffs are a little off. But hopefully he will be back on task as the ball is squib kicked. Picked up at about the 25, number 9, trying to run for his life. Not very much room. We'll get maybe past the 35-yard line. So maybe about a 10-yard return there for the Warriors.
You know, coming into this game tonight, I was thinking, yeah, Eckhout is going to go out there, put a good show on. Maybe go up, maybe 20-7 at the half, 28-7. But we have a surprising 48-13 game right now with 13 seconds left, and it appears that couch brought more than the house over here. You know, this would be a good time for a little taquito run from Renner Center, guys.
First down, the ball will be caught. Maybe about a 7-yard game here, or gain, excuse me, as the clock will continue to run, and Sandejar will call a timeout with 2 seconds remaining. And, you know, I think a lot of coaches would have just let that those 2 seconds run off. Interesting to see if Sandejar here is going to go for a Hail Mary or something.
Well, he's trying something. He's looking at the sideline, looking for somebody. You know, this being their first playoff game in a while, he's trying to show face.
Well, you know, that's... Well, you know, and Sandejar is definitely not, though, a stranger to playoffs.
Exactly.
He, of course, being formerly at Laredo United, or was it Laredo United South?
Laredo United South.
Okay, Laredo United South, and he did have a couple of playoff appearances with them. Also formerly with Ed Couch, and had one playoff appearance with them as well. And then before that, I want to say he was in...
West Oso, I think.
And I'm sure he had a playoff appearance with them or two.
I think he came from West Oso to the Valley and then went back up to Laredo. Now he's back over in the Corpus area. They set up with one back. They got trips right. Heck out to the prevent defense.
Back to pass here. And just unleashes a bomb. Single coverage. And it's going to be caught. Uh-oh. One man to beat for the touchdown. And he is... out of bounds, at the 1 yard line. Oh, they call a touchdown.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this is hilarious, man.
You know, they're,
that was foolish.
None of them were right there. They're, both of them were caught off guard with that big pass when they're at least 5 yards, 5 to 10 yards behind the defender and the receiver. Yet the receiver somehow found the corner to find. Fall into.
Man, that's very, very upsetting simply because of the fact that you're already in a prevent defense and you know what? They left, I didn't get to see who the receiver or the corner was in coverage. They left him over there on an island and the safety, who was Isaac Bravo, had to, I guess he gave too much respect to the trips on the right-hand side and just, he should have been back there. I mean, the receiver had the safety beat, and you never want to have that. You never should have the safety beat. Your safety is the last line of defense there, and it was just too easy there. Too easy of a touchdown. Now, it was a late touchdown call, but nonetheless, no sense in arguing there.
No.
Because the Jackets were burned. They were beat. And, well, we're going to go to halftime here. So, your score at half, Ed Calchelsa 48. Tallulah Midway, 19. Well, we'll use this as an opportunity to take a quick pause for the cause. You are listening to Ed Calchelsa Sports Radio.
When it comes to our photography needs, EEJackets.com turns to JBR Digital Imaging. Servicing the Mid-Valley for several years now, JBR Digital is owned and operated by George E. Sines, EE grad of 76. Fulfill your photography needs by contacting JBR Digital at 956-499-6374 or by sending an email to jbrdigital@yahoo.com. JBR Digital is a proud sponsor of Ed Calchelsa Sports Radio.
Baseball, football, basketball, soccer, even if we had swimming or underwater basket weaving, we would cover it on EEJackets.com.